1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks very much, Stephanie. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the amazing truth of your word. And Father, I pray that something of you would touch our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. This has to be one of the most well-known passages in the Bible. Little quiz for you. Hands up, who knows this passage? Okay, so I can sit down and you'll give the sermon then. Yeah? No? It happens to be one of the most famous readings that's used at weddings. And the early service, Philip was here, and Philip was saying he must have heard it so many times because he's the organist and he plays at weddings. And whilst it's taken as being a reading for a wedding, it's taken as a reading for a wedding because of its title, Love. But the truth and reality is it's not for a wedding at all. Paul's actually speaking to a church, a group of Christians. That's the context for it. And the context of the whole of 1 Corinthians is Paul speaking to a church, and about divisions in the church, and about orderly worship in the church, and about disagreements in the church, and about spiritual gifts in the church. And it seems as though he gets halfway through his book, or more than halfway through his book, and suddenly something hits him, almost like a ton of bricks. And what hits him is the fact that actually love is the thing that we need the most. Paul, you see, was a person who was far away from God. He was separated from God. He was going the wrong way, the different way. He was persecuting Christians. And Paul himself knew what it was to be loved. Why and how? Because God actually met him, as we know, on the road to Damascus. God actually met him and transformed his heart. And he was so aware of the love of God and the transforming love of God that it changed him and turned him around. And so now, Paul, the person who was Antichrist, is actually now for Christ, and he's building churches, and he wants to encourage Christian brothers and sisters the best way that he can, and it's acknowledging how much we are loved. Because when we do that, out of that love, then we learn what it is to love others. We didn't actually read it, but just the verse before, Paul says, I will now show you the most excellent way. That means the best way. I'll show you the best way to live your life. It's with love. Now, I do this at most weddings because I'm a bit cheeky, so I'm going to do it here in church because you know me better than most wedding parties. is that what I normally do at this point, I normally say something like, can you give me a definition for love? I'm asking you. Now, I said you're better than the weddings, because the weddings, they'd respond, you see. God, okay. Unconditional. It's all gone quiet. Eh? Thank you. Selfless. Now, I have to say, church people, the wedding people who don't normally come to church, they're actually better than you at answering. You thought there was a trick question, didn't you? Well, a number of months ago, when I looked up the word love in Google, and you can correct me on this because it's probably gone up, but if you type in love in Google, there's 5,580,000,000 hits for the word love. 5,580,000,000 and so many thousand hits for the word love. It's all here, isn't it? Yeah, it is. So there's so many definitions of love, but what Paul starts off by saying is that he's going to show you the most excellent way, which is about love. And then he goes in to say, but if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and what Paul here is saying is that you can be so mightily gifted and equipped by God, and it's wonderful, but if you are and you don't have love, it's meaningless. I have to be careful what I say next, but... has anyone ever learnt a musical instrument? Okay, one or two. Let's try a different question. Have any of you got children? Who's got children? Okay, keep your hands up. Have you ever been to one of their school concerts? You know, where they've played musical instruments? Okay, put your hands down. Because when I was preparing this passage, I was thinking about a particular concert that we had to go to that our daughter was playing in. And, you know, sometimes, sorry, with no disrespect, I know this is being recorded, but, you know, when you go to school concerts, I think that a lot of parents actually do a lot of prayer before they go. I think a lot of parents do a lot of prayer that the children will be able to play, but also that the thing that their child is in is near the beginning of the concert and not towards the end. Some of you know what that means. Others, it's just gone right over your head. Because I can remember going, and it sounded interesting. Is what I'll say. It wasn't very harmonious, is what I'll say. And what Paul is saying here is that it's just like a clanging gong. It's noisy, it's not very tuneful. We used to have a wonderful organist in my last church, Barbara. She was 80-odd, and she used, particularly after one wedding march, she used to say to me after, she used to say, Rector, I think I played all the right notes, but I don't know if they were in the right order. I didn't say that, she did. They weren't in the right order. And it was a bit of a noise. And that's what Paul is saying here. You can be as gifted as you like and do everything that you like in God, but actually it's a bit noisy because there's no love, there's no harmony, so there is no love. And then he goes on to explain the characteristics of what love is. But it's interesting when Jesus was asked in Matthew 22 by the Pharisee, the expert of the law, what is the greatest command? And Jesus himself says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. It's a command, you see. It's not an optional extra to love. It's a command. It's a higher calling. And in the New Testament, there is a word used for love. Who knows what it is? Come on. You're all... it's only used in the New Testament, the word for love. Agape. Agape is the word that's used for love. There's three other words which are used, and I've just had to look at my notes. Philia, which means affection and friendship. Sturge, which means empathy. And eros, which is a sexual kind of love. Three other words. But this love is a higher calling. But why? Because somebody said it over there. It's an unconditional love. That's the love that we're called for. It's a love of God for mankind, and mankind's love for God, which leads us to love our fellow brother and sister. It's a higher calling. But you might want to say to me, yeah, but I just want to love the people who love me. Because that makes it easy. And when someone does something horrible to me, I don't want to love them. I want to get even. Because that's the truth for most of us. When someone does something to us, we want to get even. And we'll devise ways and think of ways so that we can get even. And then what we say is, yeah, but I'll pray for them. That's a good one, isn't it? I'll pray for them so that they'll be better. Well, why not pray for ourselves that we'll be better? Because my Bible says to bless those who persecute you. But it's so easy to pray for other people. Why not pray for ourselves that we'll exhibit these characteristics, which I'm going to read. This is a love for God's people and a love outside. Love is patient. Love is kind. Doesn't envy, doesn't boast, isn't proud, isn't rude, isn't self-seeking, isn't easily angered. I love the next one. Keeps no record of wrongs. Yeah, but surely you're supposed to keep a score. And then we can bring it up later. But it actually says it keeps no record of wrongs. It says love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And then it says it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. What an amazing love that is. What an amazing love that we're called to exhibit. Perhaps I better use another word. What a wonderful thing. Let's be honest. Is it easy to exercise this kind of love? No, it's not. So then how do we do it? Because there's no point me standing here and telling you, you know. So how do we actually do it? Thank you. We ask the Lord to help us. And then what does God say? Yes, I will. Because God's placed his Holy Spirit in us, and his Holy Spirit is transforming us day by day into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So that means day by day, we're getting better. I can see by some of your faces, it doesn't feel like it. But we are. And you see, the thing is, we do mess up, and we know we mess up. But we say we're sorry, and God gives us a hand and a leg up, and on we go. But here's a little caveat, because you do need to be careful. Because if you want to pray for this kind of love, if you really want to exhibit in your life, and if you really ask God what God does, if you ask for patience, for example, what does God do? Sorry, I'm going to talk to you because you're...
He'll give you a chance to be patient.
Thank you. He'll give you a chance. So what he does, he will give you opportunities to practice patience. That's what he does. Why? Because he wants to refine us. And if we ask for something, he wants to allow us to change and transform. And we transform in the difficult times, not in the good times. So God will put obstacles and things in our way to help transform us. And then it says, a love which always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You see, a love never gives up. We've sung it. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. What an amazing love. What an amazing love of God. In the earlier service, we sang, great is your faithfulness. Do you not find God's love amazing? I find it mind-blowing. Just do us a favour, will you? Just stand up. I know, sorry, you don't know what's coming next, do you? I just thought I'd get you to stretch your legs, really. What I'd like you to do is just turn around. Have a good look. Have a good look. That's all you've got to do. Sit down. But remember those faces that you looked at. Because you see, what it is... We're all different, aren't we? Every single one of us is different. Every single one of us looks different. I'm looking around and I can't see two people who look the same. The similarities, and there are similarities, but we don't all look the same. We don't even think the same. We don't even worship the same. We don't even believe the same things. But isn't it wonderful? This is a church context. That what happens is that God throws us all together as the church and then says, work it out. But work it out in love. Lamont, do you want to stand up for me? I'm only doing this because you're bigger than me. It's only because you're bigger. I'm not going to hit you, you're right. But often what the church does is, I better not do this, I've just had this in my mind. It's like we kick his legs so that he falls down. Well done, you can sit down. And the church does that with each other. We take the rug from underneath each other. But actually, up you get. I'll have to stand up here. But what we're called to do as brothers and sisters is to love each other. Sit down. That's what we're called to do, is to love each other. And the love that we're called to love each other with is an unconditional love. It's not conditional. We've been loved unconditionally, and we're called to love the people in the church and outside unconditionally. Let me go back to what I said before. We have been loved unconditionally. None of us can earn our way into God's love. None of us can earn our way to heaven. None of us. Yet, God loves us unconditionally and loves us into the kingdom. That's why we're who we are. Because he has reached down in his love, and through his son, Jesus Christ, who has died for us, he's moved us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it's nothing that we've done or nothing that we've earned. It's because of God's amazing love. Unconditional. And the wonderful thing about God is he loves us unconditionally, and he can't love us anymore. That he loves us. One John 4 says, God is love, and those who live in God live in love. It also says, we love because he first loved us. Because when we know God's love in our hearts, we know what real love is. We know what real unconditional love is. And therefore, what we start to do is we put it into practice. I've been amazed at the report recently of the incident in Charlestown in America. I'll tell you why I've been amazed. I've been amazed at the church people and what they've said. Forgiveness is what they've taught. Forgive the perpetrators. Forgive them. Where do they get that kind of love from? It's the very heart of God. Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. And the world, you see, those outside the church, look at the church, whether we like it or not. Look how those Christians get on. Or look how those Christians disagree. Look how they argue over the minutiae of things. Well, that's a long word for me, isn't it? The small things. They argue and fall out over the small things. But here Paul is encouraging us to love one another and love each other with an unconditional love. And to bless each other and encourage each other. And so many things Paul says are transient. They pass. But he says right at the end, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. And I have to say this, love is not some kind of wishy-washy, sentimental, superficial love. This is a deep love. It's deep, it's real, it's genuine. It's forgiving. It's sacrificial. It's humbling. It's obedient. That's what it is. It's not a love which crushes us. It's a love that we're overwhelmed by. We are overwhelmed by a love. So much so that we just want to love others, irrespective of the cost. Sharing the love of Jesus. It's on the church door. Sharing the love of Jesus. We want to share God's love with each other and with those outside. You know, part of love is tough because it's about saying goodbye, and we're having to say goodbye today, and that's tough. But we can only do it in God's love, because we want the best for Jason and Steph. We want the best. So we can send them off with our love, with our gratitude, with our thanks. But as a group of people here, continue to be here, I think God is calling us to a deeper love, like we've never experienced before. A love of Him and a love for each other. So let's start taking a few risks, eh? Let's start being the people who we really are, rather than the people that we think we should be. Well, that's a bit profound, isn't it? It's not even in my notes, that bit. What I mean is, let's drop the masks. That's what I mean. And the pretense. That's part of what the church weekend is about, you see. It's quite hard to pretend for a whole weekend, isn't it? Especially when you come down for breakfast in the morning. But you know, when we rub shoulders together and our relationships grow, that's what God wants, our relationship with Him and our relationship with each other. So let's just allow both of them to grow for His glory and honour. Amen. So Heavenly Father, teach us and continue to teach us what true love is about. The love that You have for us and the love that we should have for others, for Your glory and honour. Amen. I think we're going to sing. I couldn't see you there, Jason. Let's stand. As we stand, just as we continue to worship, just let's allow God just to love us. And in receiving His love, let's be encouraged to demonstrate that love.